Now, our second scripture reading today comes from the book of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Listen now to the word of God. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Fragrance. Think about the fragrances that are meaningful to you. Certain fragrances really jog our memories, don't they? The Old Spice that my dad always used to wear. Barbecued hamburgers permeate backyards and get into other people's backyards and make you really hungry. Those fresh baked chocolate chip cookies, that smell is one of my favorites. And if I would get off the bus and go in the door after school and smell that, my heart would just like leap for joy. Mom made chocolate chip cookies. I recently learned that scent marketing, though, is a thing. I didn't realize there was such a thing as scent marketing, besides, you know, when they try to spray you when you come in the door of Macy's to get you to buy their perfume. But Cinnabon, I found out, intentionally bakes a fresh batch of cinnamon rolls every 30 minutes to keep that delicious smell permeating throughout the mall so it will finally reach you or wherever you're shopping. And Starbucks, very intentionally, they said, directs their coffee being sent towards their door so that when you walk past on the outside, you'll smell it. But scents are also powerful communicators. They don't just call you inside. They also communicate other things to you. Remember, though, that Nirvana had a song called Smells Like Teen Spirit? These crazy things come to my mind when I'm writing sermons. And I thought, I'm so glad those days are past when I had to wash my kids' soccer uniforms after a sweaty, hot game. It was really difficult to even touch them to get them into the wash. I had to hold my nose. But I miss them at the same time, and so now that probably would be a sweet fragrance to me, you know? It depends on how long it's been and how often you have to do it. The oil of nard that Mary used to anoint Jesus' feet was known to be wonderfully fragrant, and that helps explain why it was so expensive. They said in today's reading, the woman at the feet of Jesus was communicating love and honor to Jesus with her gift of nard. That was the communication of that gift. And somehow Mary knew this was her last chance to show her love and gratitude and affection for Jesus. Now, nard is an aromatic, amber-colored essential oil, and it's derived from a flowering plant that grows in the Himalayas, in Nepal, China, and India. So remember last week when I pointed out how the Silk Road came from China and it went directly through Jerusalem and then turned north to Rome? Well, this nard oil that she was using probably made a 3,000-mile journey to get to Jerusalem for Mary to buy it. Today, they estimate that that 300 denarii would cost in the tens of thousands of dollars in our way of thinking about how much cost that was to them. So I'm thinking maybe Mary and Martha and her brother Lazarus probably pooled their money together to buy such a precious gift for Jesus. It's amazing to think about how much they gave to be able to provide that for him. And now, if you were Mary and you were planning to be in Christ's presence, how would you respond yourself to this opportunity to be with Jesus, who recently raised your brother from the dead? Can you imagine how grateful you would be if that happened? Just think about how you might respond if you knew he was coming to dinner. Would you spend the time with Jesus asking questions like, what is heaven really like? Or would you tell him a joke? Or would you sing him a song or play him a tune? Or would you just sit and listen to his wise words at his feet? Think about what you would do if you knew this was your last chance to show him how much you love him. I think it would take a lot of guts to put expensive oil on Jesus, would it not? That had to take a lot of courage for her to do that, especially in front of other people. But Mary decides to quietly but intentionally lavish her love on Jesus in this form of precious oil. And she also takes down her hair and rubs it around with her hair, which is an amazing part of this whole story too, because that would have been thought as scandalous for a woman to bring her hair down at that time and to have her share that with Jesus. She totally ignores the shocked response from the disciples around them. Her purpose is to give Jesus something that shows her praise and her love and her gratitude. Now, if you think about it, we were pondering this last night at our sacred space service. She's the only one in history, really, to give Jesus a gift since the three wise men brought their gifts to the manger. Can you think of any other time in the Bible when a physical gift was given to Jesus? Through all of his ministry, he was always the one giving and feeding and nurturing. Now, normally, Jesus would be giving out healing and forgiveness, but this time Jesus accepts her gift and allows her to shower him with praise through the offering of the precious, fragrant oil. And we know that that helped Mary feel better too. That had to be a good feeling for her to be able to give in this way. Mary had a lavish attitude, and it reminds me of the writer Annie Dillard, who said this: spend it all, shoot it, play it, lose it, all right away, every time. Do not hoard what seems good for a later place. Give it all, and give it now, she said. And she also added, the impulse to save something good for a better place later is the signal that you need to spend it now. Something more will arise later, something better. These things fill from behind and from beneath, she says, like well water. Similarly, the impulse to keep to yourself what you have learned is not only shameful, it is destructive. Anything you do not give freely and abundantly becomes lost to you. You open your safe and find only ashes. And that reminds me so much of the fires. Think about how many safes that supposedly were fireproof, when they were opened up, inside were ashes. So this is Annie Dillard's advice for life: to give and give and give and give abundantly. Mary was present with this attitude in the moment with Jesus, and she was responding with her heart. These last moments with Jesus inspired Mary to give with an act of reckless beauty. And she somehow knew it was her last opportunity to lavish him with something that showed how much he meant to her. I sincerely believe that when you have an opportunity to say what you have always wanted to say to someone, It's best to say it before it's too late. And I've been reminded of that so much lately with the passing of many of our parishioners in this last year. But especially yesterday when we had the memorial for Bob Snader and his wife Marge. I mentioned how I encouraged Bob when I was there one day to go in and talk to Marge about the things that he'd always been wanting to say, because her bronchitis looked so bad, it looked as if she was going to pass in the next day or so. And so he went in and he did say, "Thank you for being such a wonderful mother, and thank you for being such a great wife, and please forgive me for anything that I have done that has made it hard." And then he told her it was okay if she needed to go, but then he added, "But I won't be far behind." And that prophecy was true. He willed himself to follow her, and just 2 weeks later, after she passed. So it was a beautiful moment, and it was such an honor to be there to witness that. So these are five things that they say are especially important to say to someone you love before they die. And you don't have to wait till they're on their deathbed to say them. One is, "Please forgive me." Even if you can't think of exactly an event or something that they should forgive you for, I remember when my dad said that to me, I had no idea that within 10 days he was going to die. But he said, "Will you forgive me?" And I said, "For what?" You know, I couldn't think of, you know, anything. And he said, "For not being the kind of father you deserved to have." And that just blew me away. So that meant so much to me, though. And then it's important to say, "I forgive you for anything that you may feel you need forgiveness for." So of course I said to him, "I forgive you." I said, "You are a great dad." But when you offer your forgiveness to a loved one, you give them a final gift for their passing in peace. Even if there's been no major act to forgive, it's just a beautiful thing to say, and it's a beautiful gift to give. And then say, "I love you." That's so important to remind them that you love them. And then say, "Thank you for loving me and for all the things you have done for me." It's never too late to appreciate even the little things that people have done. Even if you had expectations for them being something that they weren't, I'm sure you can identify some little things that you're thankful for. And then let them know, say, "I will be okay. It is okay to go when you need to." I've seen so many people hold on because they're afraid that their loved ones need them still somehow. And they hold on sometimes way beyond when they really could have gone without suffering so much at the end. And then reassure them at the same time that you say it's okay to go, that you will never forget them, that that connection will remain. And I do believe in that. We are still connected to them, even if it's a spiritual connection after the body is gone. Now, Mary may have been silently saying these things as she applied the precious oil onto Jesus. We don't really know if any of these words were said. They don't record any of them. But the oil provided that fragrance of love. And Mary doesn't wait until it's too late. She role models showing Christ abundant love and gratefulness. And by wiping the nard on Jesus with her hair, she carries that precious scent away with her as well. If you think about it, it's going to remain in her hair. The fragrant memory clings to her. And when Jesus pours out his life and forgiveness from the cross, she will have that same scent as Jesus. It is as if she finds a way to be up on the cross with him. Maybe the scent of nard continued to stay with her and gave her strength to face those next few days. And like the scent of a favorite security blanket, she might have tried to keep that fragrant memory for as long as possible. Mary's unique connection to Jesus is probably the reason, too, that she's given the honor of being among the first women who find his tomb empty. And it is this Mary who runs to Peter announcing he is risen. She is the first preacher of the gospel, the one who shared the good news of his resurrection. And she likely still had that fragrance that she shared with Christ in her hair. We know that in those days, they didn't wash their hair that often, and so it was probably still there. Now, how do we carry the fragrance of Christ with us? How do we carry his kingdom of compassion out into the world? We are called to do just that, to spread the good news, to lavish praise and love on Jesus still today. Not because he desires the lavishing, but because we are made better for it. We are strengthened with the fragrant memory of all that Jesus did for us. Imagine pouring out the most precious gifts you have at the feet of Jesus. We can be connected still today to Jesus in this way. Jesus said, "When you do these things for the least of these, you do them for me." That is the only gift that Jesus wants from his followers. He wanted that then, and he wants it from us now. Matthew 25 says that his disciples asked him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king replies, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Precious nard is not needed now. What the world needs now is your tender, loving care on Christ's behalf for the least of these. So I hope you will lavish your care upon Jesus today in this way. Amen.